With the first pick of the draft, the Indianapolis Colts select quarterback, University of Tennessee, Peyton Manning.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's our host, Evan Sider, and joined by a very special guest today's show, Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue. We're back for our What If series, our second portion this week, talking through really what could have been. We talked yesterday to George Bremer of the Herald Bulletin about if Peyton Manning never needed neck surgery, but today is another Peyton Manning-based What If scenario, and it really could have changed the fortunes of the entire franchise in a negative way, or maybe not if you look down the future a little bit. Stephen Reed of Stampede Blue joins today because we are going to talk about if the Colts took Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning number one overall in the 1998 draft. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well today, Evan. How are you today?
Doing well, and I appreciate you coming on because, like I mentioned at the top there, Ryan Leaf versus Peyton Manning. What was it like back then, 1998? Because, of course, the Colts took number one overall pick, and it seemed like many outside of Indianapolis believed it was going to be a real debate between Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning, but it seemed like from everything I've read about Peyton Manning so far is that Ursay, Bill Polian, and Jim Mora, the staff there, they all seem like they really wanted Peyton Manning on board there. But what was your thoughts on that? I know it was over 20 years ago at this point, but what was your thoughts on Manning and Ryan Leaf when they came out of school?
Yeah, my thoughts on it are there was a lot of debate, like you said, outside of the Colts organization. But from the sounds of it, and like you said, everything you read is, they were pretty set on Peyton Manning because he was a more stable product. He was going to be ready right away. Bill Polian talked about how he was glad that Peyton stayed for that senior year of college at University of Tennessee. That year, Ryan Leaf had come out early, and there were some concerns about his work ethic, about his ego and his attitude, and how that would translate and work into the organization. From that standpoint, Bill Polian wanted somebody that was a little bit more stable, and that's why they went the direction of Peyton Manning in that situation. And one of my favorite quotes from that area is Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning. Peyton went into Jim Irsay's office, said, I want to play for your organization. And he said, and if you don't take me, then I'm going to kick your butt for the next 15 years. And there was a little bit more choice language than that, but I don't want to have explicit content put on the podcast. So clean that up a little bit for your listeners. But that was one of those situations where I think Ursay said, you know, at that moment, he knew, like, this is the guy that I want to get behind. This is the guy I want to be the leader of my franchise. He didn't have any doubts. If he had any doubts prior to that, he didn't have it after. And so I think that it was a pretty cut and dry decision for them. But like everybody said, leading up to the draft, there were some questions because Ryan Leaf was on tape. He showed some more explosive abilities and traits as a quarterback than what Peyton Manning did. He got the bigger arm. He was more athletic. And let's be real, Peyton wasn't really known for his athleticism as it was. But Ryan Leaf had that higher upside that everybody said. Coming into the draft, and the fact is he went to an organization in San Diego that didn't let him meet that.
I think what's interesting, Stephen, you look at Peyton Manning's Tennessee stats that final year, 36 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 3,800 yards, 60.2 completion percentage, and Ryan Leaf, of course, for Washington State, 34 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, almost 4,000 yards, but his completion percentage was only 55. And you look at his other completion percentages at Washington State, 54, 52, 55. Nowadays, that's really just horrific accuracy. And they really showed on Leaf when he got in the NFL. You see, he wasn't an accurate quarterback, and that wasn't going to survive in the NFL in 1998, early 2000s, that type of era, because accuracy, as we all know, watching Peyton over the last 20 years, was so valuable in arm talent, arm placement. It all matters in the end there, but I think with Ryan Leaf especially, Stephen, what's your thoughts on if, let's say, Jim Irsay and Bill Polian were smitten by Ryan Leaf in an interview, or they're smitten by his arm talent, and they do go with Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, of course, ends up in San Diego. How different is not only the Colts organization, but the NFL as a whole, Peyton Manning goes to San Diego?
I was going to say, there's a lot of trickle-down aspects of this. Is if San Diego, or if the Colts go with Ryan Leaf, instead of a Peyton Manning there. If you think about this, Ryan Leaf got injured his first couple of years. He was out of San Diego by the year 2000, or after the 2000 season. So you're going into the, and San Diego at that point had the number one pick. They were 1-15 in 2000. So they had the number one pick. They ended up trading. It was the year Michael Vick came out. Also the year that Drew Brees was there. So you're looking at San Diego now is no longer trading back in 2001. So they no longer have LaDainian Tomlinson there because they're not picking, you know, first overall. Colts are picking first overall. So they'd have a choice between, say, like a Michael Vick or a Drew Brees at number one overall. The other aspects to consider is with the San Diego going with Peyton Manning, no longer is Eli Manning, you know, several years later saying, I don't want to play in San Diego. You know, I want to play in New York Giants. Who knows where Eli Manning ends up? You know, if, you know, Peyton Manning's in San Diego, Drew Brees doesn't get taken by the Chargers. And so there's a lot of different teams and a lot of different franchises that would have been effective beyond just the Colts. If Peyton Manning had been gone to the San Diego Chargers and the Colts taken Ryan Leaf, you'd have the Colts sitting there trying to scramble for a couple of years. Now, you know, you could go doomsday scenario and say, would the Colts even still be in Indianapolis at that point? Because prior to Peyton Manning, they had 14 seasons in Indianapolis and they made the playoffs three times. When Peyton Manning was in Indianapolis, Peyton played for the Colts for 14 seasons, and there were only 3 years that they actually missed the playoffs. That's what his rookie year, where they had no talent beyond Marvin Harrison was still there. But beyond that, there was a severe lack of talent across the board. The second year they didn't make the playoffs was the year Edgerrin James tore his ACL. The final year they didn't make the playoffs was the year that Peyton Manning had a neck injury. So you can't really put that on Peyton. So you're not only saying that you're changing the direction of the franchise for the Colts, you're also changing a lot of different franchises. You probably still have Edgerrin James in the Colts uniform because that first year of Peyton Manning, he went 3-13. They would have picked there in the top five, as it were. So you're probably still looking at Edgerrin James in a Colts uniform. However, you aren't getting Reggie Wayne. So one fan favorite's not going to be there because he was selected in that 2001 draft. If the Colts go Ryan Leaf and he's out of the league, or out of the Colts franchise going into that 2001 draft, Bill Polian's looking for a quarterback. You're not taking a Reggie Wayne at the end of the first round that year. You're looking at try to solidify that franchise quarterback position. So you go from having, you know, Ryan Leaf to maybe a Michael Vick in an Indianapolis uniform, and that would have been electric. Would have sold a lot of tickets. You know, it would have been fun to watch. He would have been on turf, just like he was in Atlanta. But at the same time, it also plays into how every other team, how it would have had that trickle-down effect on so many other teams and so many other quarterbacks, because it's not just Peyton Manning versus Ryan Leaf in this situation. But if the Colts take Ryan Leaf, there's a lot of different quarterbacks that aren't playing for their franchises that they are now or what they were known for.
Steve, do you think there's any way – I know the situation was all pretty much Ryan Leaf's fault in San Diego. I know he had his injury there, but he didn't have a lot of talent in Indianapolis. And, of course, you can mention – or in San Diego, excuse me, but in Indianapolis as well, only Marvin Harrison would have been around that time his rookie year. Obviously, you probably add an Edgerrin James later on. But do you think there's any way that Ryan Leaf could have succeeded in Indianapolis or no?
I think there is. There is a way that he could have succeeded because what they did in San Diego is they threw him to the wolves right away. And he wasn't ready. In the Colts, had he come to the Colts, he could have at least been an adequate starter in the NFL for a while. The accuracy issue still would have been a huge concern. I think he finished his career at like a 47 or 45% accuracy or completion percentage, which is beyond terrible. But you had Bill Polian there. You had Jim Mora, who was a steady coach. In San Diego, they didn't have those things where you didn't have a strong GM. You didn't have a strong coach there. So Jim Mora and Bill Polian were likely going to bring in a veteran quarterback, let Ryan Leaf take some time, learn the offense, learn the NFL game. Because back then, if my memory serves me right, a lot of times those first years for those quarterbacks were redshirt years. where they learned the game, where they took the time. And more recently, they've been throwing those quarterbacks into the fire. But back then, you used to get a little bit of time to get guys up to speed. I think that's what Bill Polian, Jim Mora, and Jim Irsay would have done in that situation, is taking the time, try to bring him up and try to work with him. I don't think he might have flamed out like he did. The problem with Ryan Leaf was that conditioning and his work ethic. And so he probably still would have gotten injured. That's because he didn't take care of his body like he needed to. And that was one of the biggest things in San Diego, is that he wasn't ready to play. And he wasn't there mentally on game day, and he wasn't there physically on game day. And so that was the biggest concern, I think, beyond all the other off-field things that we find out after the fact that were going on with him in his life. He could be marginally better if he was in Indianapolis, but I think that he still would have just been average based on that work ethic and his huge ego and not wanting to put in the work.
Arguably the biggest what if in Colts history, if the Colts took Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning at number one overall in 1998, it's arguably changes the city of Indianapolis forever, Colts football forever, and really the NFL forever, because Peyton Manning, as we all know, the greatest quarterback of all time, one of, if not the greatest, as I should say, because as we all know as Colts fans, Peyton Manning truly is on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks. And he might have done the same thing in San Diego if they would have taken Ryan Leaf, and history changes forever. I want to remind you guys, before we continue on our show here with Stephen Rhea of Stampy Blue, talking through this exact what-if scenario, I want to remind you about the best-tasting protein bar ever, which is Built Bar. It's a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. With 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, and 8 chocolate nut-free flavors, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious guy, and they help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. For example, a peanut butter brownie Built Bar has 20 grams of protein in it with 170 calories and only 3 grams of sugar. That is a great tasting meal, Colts fans, to tide over your appetite and have a good tasting snack. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com, the best tasting protein bar ever.
Yeah, that's the big thing there with Ryan Leaf. I'm glad you brought that up, Steven. Just his work ethic, the off-field concerns were really pretty damning for his career. Ryan Leaf, over his three-year career in San Diego, 14 touchdowns, 36 interceptions, completion percentage of 48.4%. And just horrific numbers there from Ryan Leaf. And let's get on the wormhole for a second, Steven, because I think for me, I did this what-if in my head and went down a few years as far as they do go Ryan Leaf in 1998, number one overall. Like you mentioned, probably take Edgerrin James still in 1999. But in 2000, the Colts probably aren't good still. They're probably still a top five, top 10 team. And they took Rob Morris in the late 20s of the 2012 draft.
Backer, BYU, yep. I believe.
Yep, exactly. And I think in that scenario, if they do are still targeting a linebacker, that means they get Brian Urlacher in the top 10 in 2000 most likely. And that could have been – you have him alongside on the defense, having lead the defense for a little bit. And then in 2001, like you mentioned, you have Michael Vick. Probably at this point, the Colts know Ryan Leaf's not the answer. Probably, once again, a top five, top 10 pick, maybe number one at this point, if Leaf does indeed bust out like he did in his third year of his contract. What's your thoughts on a core of a what-if scenario where they would have went Ryan Leaf, but 99, 2000, 2001, they would have went with Edgerrin James still, Brian Urlacher, and then Michael Vick to pair with Edgerrin James and Marvin Harrison?
That's a really interesting hypothetical, because you sit there and you take that hit, and Brian Urlacher, one of the best things about him was he was such a fast linebacker, and he was cerebral, so he knew everything. And playing in the RCA Dome at that point, I think that would have been just kind of a coup. You're probably still looking at, possibly getting Dwight Freeney that year later in 2002. And so you're realistically looking at a team that could have been Edgerrin James, Brian Urlacher, Michael Vick, and Dwight Freeney, four Hall of Famers, three Hall of Famers and Michael Vick, prior to everything that went on with him off the field, had the potential to be he was a star when he played. And I think it would have delayed the up and coming, growth of football in the Indianapolis area, because Peyton, as we all know, he kind of made Indianapolis a football town, you know, and all the things he did off the field. But having these other players, for example, a Brian Urlacher and a Michael Vick, you've got yourself a situation where, yeah, it would have been a really cool thing to see. But if, yeah, I wouldn't, I guess it'd be hard to argue that it would be a worse team than what they had with Peyton. So yeah, I would of course prefer Peyton over all that, because I'd rather not do that 3 years of just total trash of Ryan Leaf at quarterback. But at the same time, if you can get Michael Vick, Brian Urlacher, Edgerrin James, and Dwight Freeney, that's a heck of a four players in 4 years draft.
Yeah, the 6 years in Atlanta that Vick played, 71 touchdowns, 52 interceptions. Of course, he ran for over 1,000 yards over his 6 years in Atlanta. He would have been a monster on the RCA Dome turf, of course, with Edgerrin James in the backfield. It would have been a lot of fun to watch there. But accuracy is where it's interesting to me. Over the 6 years.
And you'd have Marvin Harrison there too.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd have Vick throwing to Marvin Harrison. And Michael Vick never really had a stud wide receiver when he was at Atlanta.
No, he definitely didn't. The skill position would have been a huge upgrade for him. And I think even though the offensive line was not at all near where it is in 2020 for the Colts, I think it was at least better than what Atlanta had at that point. And the completion percentage for Michael Vick over the 6 years he was there, 44, 55, 50, 56, 55, 53. So he wasn't accurate, but, I mean, the legs and the explosiveness, the deep ball ability would have been a lot of fun to watch there. But I think we both agree, Steven, that what do you think the ramifications would have been? Obviously, if the Colts do not take Peyton Manning, does this Colts team even have a Super Bowl?
That was one of the things that I wrote down in my thoughts before is do they have a Super Bowl? I think that they could have. It wouldn't have come as soon as it did in 2006. I think that they would have gotten one if you put that team together that we talked about, that hypothetical team of Edgerrin James, Brian Urlacher, Michael Vick, and Dwight Freeney. They'd have that opportunity. I'll tell you this. I don't think that they're playing in Lucas Oil Stadium as soon as they did. I don't think that the Colts were going to move, but at the same time, I think Peyton Manning helped bring that team and that stadium to Indianapolis more so than any other person or player. But yeah, I'm not sure that they would have won the Super Bowl in 2006. I think they probably could have gotten it just because, and here's the thing, New England has always had trouble with mobile quarterbacks. And so that would have possibly mitigated the advantage that Bill Belichick always had against the Colts whenever the Colts played in New England, because you'd have to be able to game plan for Michael Vick's legs and Michael Vick's arms. They maybe could have gone in there into Foxborough and pulled an upset or two in there with that team. But I don't think that they've got a Super Bowl as quickly. I think they would have probably won one with that core group of players, though.
Yeah, it truly is an interesting scenario because, as we all know, Ryan Leaf busts out before the end of his rookie contract. Peyton Manning goes on to be one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. But before we close here, Steve, I just want to get your thoughts on just the Peyton Manning era. I know I touched on with George yesterday on the podcast about the neck surgery, but watching Peyton up close as we did over the 14 years he was in Indianapolis playing, what was it like watching that? Because that day in 1998, like, it changed Colts football forever, changed the state of Indiana forever, because the city of Indiana, the city and state of Indianapolis in Indiana was truly a basketball town. It was Indiana Pacers town, and get Peyton Manning on board there changes everything for the Colts. They're a national recognized team. Like you mentioned, Lucas Oil Stadium is built in about 10 years after Peyton gets there because the revenue is generating for the city. It just seems like the move going for Peyton Manning is an easy no-brainer here, and it really helped save the franchise itself in the first few years it was there, the first 15 years.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, like you said, growing up in Indianapolis, like the big ticket when I was a kid was going to Market Square Arena and going and seeing the Pacers play and seeing Reggie Miller and Rick Smits, Dale Davis, and Tony, like the whole crew of, I can name probably almost the entire team from back in the day. That's how big they were. They were the rock stars of the city. Peyton Manning came in and changed the culture of the city and really drew people in to really rally behind somebody that they thought was a part of their community. And to a point, he was. He ingrained himself into Indianapolis, and he did so many things. I'd be remiss not to mention the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital and all the things that he did philanthropically there in the city of Indianapolis to really change the perception of professional athletes, but also change the perception of the Colts and the franchise in both the city's eyes, the state's eyes, and the national focus. Because prior to that, like I mentioned, prior to Peyton Manning getting there, they had 14 seasons, made the Super Bowl or made the playoffs. 3 years out of 14, never played in the Super Bowl. Their closest they ever got was that Pittsburgh game with Jim Harbaugh throwing the Hail Mary. That that whole game, I don't really want to relive it. But prior to that, prior to Peyton Manning, Indianapolis was a basketball town, and that was it. And since Peyton Manning, I think it's almost inarguable that it's a football city. And just to have one player that is able to make that change for the entire community, I think was huge. And that's not even including the things that he did off the court. Like I said, the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital has been just a beacon of hope for so many kids and parents, having their children having to go through different procedures, different medical treatments, and having him being able to donate to that and still be involved in the Indianapolis community is huge.
Last thing I have for you, Stephen, wrapping the show up here. Appreciate the time as always. I wanted to just get circling back around to this first discussion point we had as far as it seems like, I mean, obvious answer for all the listeners out there as well. Like, we wouldn't change history here. 1998, it'd be an easy choice, Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf, and the rest is history because of course we talk about the Michael Vick scenario, what could have been, but there's also a very good chance it goes disastrous if the Colts don't take Peyton Manning. He maybe goes to San Diego, and maybe San Diego never moves to L.A. in the first place because they win multiple titles with Peyton Manning on board there. Like, it changes history forever if they do go the opposite direction.
Yeah, I think San Diego probably has a title if Peyton Manning was with them, just because he elevated the play of everyone around him to such a degree, and he commanded that presence, and he commanded excellence from his fellow teammates. And to have that leader in the locker room, I think it would have changed the entire organization in San Diego. I don't think that they moved to LA. I think that they're selling out crowds, and they're selling out their stadium there, where prior it was pretty easy to get a ticket to a Chargers game. And he could have transformed that community similar to the way that he transformed the Colts and transformed the Indianapolis community. Because you could get a ticket to the RCA Dome for any game you wanted prior to Peyton Manning. Even that first year of Peyton Manning, you can get a ticket. But after he started really kind of bringing everybody along, it was hard. It was hard up until a couple years ago. After Andrew Luck retired and the end of the Chuck Pagano era, it was hard to get a ticket to Colts games without spending, way above market value for it, or way above face value for it. I think that San Diego probably has a championship at this point. Drew Brees, who knows where he's at? The Eli Manning's probably not with the Giants, so arguably Tom Brady might get two more Super Bowl rings because he could never beat Eli in the Super Bowl. It's such an interesting thought experiment to go through all these scenarios.
Stephen, always enjoy talking to you on the podcast. You can follow Stephen on Twitter at NiceReadSteve. You can read his work over at Stampede Blue and his own podcast over at Stampede Blue. You can follow it on Twitter at PodPancake. Stephen, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Evan.